Welcome to Blind Like Me. Let's get the stopwatch going. Counting us down so we'll keep time. I'm Phil Parr. Our guest is a fellow named Troy Fain. And you were, what part of the country are you in, sir?
I'm in Riverton, Utah.
Riverton, Utah. I've never heard of that. What size burg is that?
It's a suburb of Salt Lake.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of, it used to be out in the country. I don't know what size it is. It's kind of a country city.
Are you of the Mormon persuasion?
No. I was raised that way, but I didn't keep going.
You were raised in the Church of Latter-day Saints, but you've dropped away from that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was raised Baptist, and I've gotten a long, far, long way from there. that just my mother, bless her heart, sainted mother. Anyway.
Oh, I learned a lot. It was good social skills that you learned from church, you know.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I found it very guilt-ridden.
Oh, exactly.
You know, I got tired of all that. Well, and your level of vision, you were legally blind, but you still have a good bit of vision.
Yeah, I have a form of macular degeneration, and so I'm able to see peripheral really well. And I'm able to use a computer with Zoom text or with just a mouse magnifier.
Mm-hmm. So you were not brought up around blind people. You went to a normal public school and that kind of thing?
Yes. In fact, I was in the military. I was a medic until 1991.
So up until then, your eyesight was considered good enough to be in the military?
Right.
So this blindness thing is kind of new to you. Is it? Are you gonna? I guess eventually you'll lose all sight, probably in later years, maybe.
I don't know. I hope not.
I hope not either.
It's pretty stable right now, so.
That's good.
But if it does, I'm prepared. You know.
You can. It can be handled. Millions of us, thousands of us do it every day. So in 1990, you entered the military. Is that the reason you dropped out of the military, because of your eyes?
Yeah, I was medically retired.
Medically retired.
Yeah.
And this was in 91, so you've had, I guess, about 15 years of this being unable to drive a car and being considered, being a legally blind person.
It's only been about the last 4 years, I think, since I've been able to drive, but it's, that's probably the worst part of the losing your eyesight for me was not being able to drive, because I was able to drive my kids up in the canyon.
Well, yeah, it's the worst, it's kind of the worst for all of us, because we'd all, you know, all of us would like to. My story for people is, because I'm totally blind, I always tell everybody I can do anything except drive the car. But you get used to it, and you will. And maybe your kids are about to get old enough where they can drive you, aren't they?
Yeah, in fact, I'm very fortunate because I have three that can drive me around, plus my wife and my father. So
that's good.
I don't have to use the bus very often, yeah. Maybe once or twice a year.
Now, you said that you were a medic in the military. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I worked in labor and delivery and medical surgical floor and pretty much everywhere in the hospital.
When you left military, were you able to find a civilian job doing the same thing, or did you try or not?
I tried for just a little while, and then I went to school, and then I decided to get out of the medical field altogether.
Uh-huh.
I got a computer. Well, first I took a typing class because I didn't know how to I was scared of computers, and then I took a typing class, and that basically opened the door to the computer. And once I learned the potential of that and the internet, I just quit that altogether, the medical stuff, and pursued computer. I really like multimedia, and so I went to college for a few years, and my brother and a partner, we started an ISP, and we ran that for about four or five years, and then that went out of business, but I learned quite a bit about the internet doing that. We had about 4,000 customers, and so it was a big deal. It was kind of fun.
So you really got into computers. Why did your ISP fail? You would think that it would be
It was back when all the dot-coms died.
Yeah.
And there was a whole bunch of local ISPs. There's about 20 or more. And all these free ISPs popped up, these free ones that people could go to. And they had all these pop-ups and advertisement type things, but people decided it was free, so they just dumped us, you know.
Yeah.
And then it was really expensive. Our overhead was like $40,000 a month for just the phone lines.
How much a month?
About $40,000 a month for phone bills.
Woo-hoo-hoo. Of course, that probably wouldn't...
We was only making $40,000 or less, so we were barely breaking even, or some months not even making that, so...
So it was time to get out of that. But you got into computers big time. I mean, you didn't just learn to type. You really got into computers, didn't you?
Yeah, I learned it really well. And I love it. I still, every day, I find something new and interesting that I can learn. My son and my wife, actually, my son is a programmer. My wife is a web designer. My brother is a programmer also, so my whole family has pretty much been in computers for quite a while.
Yeah, so you folks are into computers. Now you say that you were kind of afraid of computers. This was early 90s, and you were afraid of computers. But once you learn to type, and you figure out they're not going to bite, and that you can get out of anything you get into. Things become, and it is, you're right, it's a digital candy store. You find something new every day, fooling with these computers. Now, I first ran across you, I think you had or still have a website that offers old-time radio. Tell us about that service.
That service started a couple years ago. My stepfather was passing away. And he wasn't really able to communicate with us. He had throat cancer and lost his voice box. And when you were sitting there with a dying person, you reminisce what they enjoy and stuff. And I remembered going out and cutting wood. And on the way back, we was out in the middle of nowhere. We'd only get the AM stations, and we'd listen to CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got home... I have to remember that. I got on the internet and I thought, I wonder if anybody has any of that stuff out there. So I found a couple shows and put them on CDs and played them for him, and he was really happy about it. And then after he passed away, I didn't really do anything about it. And then I got thinking about it again another time and looked for more of them and found a bunch. And then I didn't even know about the other, you know, the real classic stuff like Lux Radio Theater and Gunsmoke and all those, because my generation, they didn't have those on the radio. But once I found those, I just started collecting them and listening to them. And, because TV is, you don't have as much visual sight. They don't really describe what's going on unless you have a descriptive video or something, you know.
That's true.
So the joy of TV kind of got killed, unless I was on a huge screen, which is kind of hard to find. And so anyways, I enjoyed it, and I figured other people might. And knowing how to make a web page and stuff, I created a website that was free for visually impaired or disabled people, and got quite a bit of response. Right now, we got about 1,050. Some are donated folks that are sighted, but the majority. majority are blind or disabled.
Now, in order to go to this website or to use the service of this website, do you have to prove that you are disabled or just say you are?
Basically, just say you are. I don't.
Yeah.
I have one thing at the bottom that in the comment field. They just have to say one thing about themselves.
Yeah.
Either what they enjoy about old-time radio or something about themselves. And I think that kind of, I mean, and there's quite a bit of verbiage on there that, you know, says, you know, please don't do this unless you really are visually impaired or blind or disabled.
Is it a, I've only looked at it in a cursory fashion. Is it a pretty blind friendly? I mean, do you have it set up where a screen reader will work well with it? Or
As much as I can right now. I talked with the gentleman that makes the software, and he added a few tags, but eventually I'm going to make it more blind friendly. I kind of have been gauging it off of how many people need help, and since we did our last update, we haven't had a lot of people. And if somebody does need help, I have free tech support. I'll call them and walk them through it, or they can call me anytime.
Okay.
The whole point of it is for them to access it, and I used to do customer support for MSN and other places, so it's kind of interesting because I've seen things through my mind's eye all my life, and so it came in handy when I lost my eyesight because I can see the screens in my mind and walk people through them, and so it's not what I'd like it to be, is the answer to the question, but it is it's usable.
Work in progress. How many old-time radio shows do you have there available?
I haven't really counted, but there's around between 10 and 14,000, I would guess.
10 to 14,000. And these are free? I mean, there's no charge here? You're not trying to make any money off this?
No, only the sighted folks that want to donate, they can donate $5 a month and do it. Most of the old-time radio shows are in public domain. And so I've had people donate and send me tapes and CDs and I had a mother who had a blind son who she sent 6,000 that got me off the ground to begin with, and she just volunteered it. She believed in it so much. And what keeps me going is the comments and the emails that I get, because blind people are kind of starving for this kind of entertainment, you know.
Well, it's a perfect thing for blind people because it's they describe exactly, it's like watching TV. I mean, they tell you exactly what's going on. There's no question about where you are in the plot or the episode. Now, are these in podcast form, or do you stream them, or how do you get them to your computer?
You can stream them and listen to them if you don't want to download them, but all of them are downloadable that are on the main site. They're MP3 format, so
okay.
You can download them and put them on your iPod or whatever format. I prefer just a standard mock pod, I call them, you know, like a regular MP3 player, because iTunes is a little bit difficult for some blind people to use.
Yeah. But these are standard MP3 compressed, and you simply go select the one you want, you click on it for download, and bring it to your computer. And if you have a DSL or cable, if you have fast internet, that doesn't take long, does it?
Yeah, most shows, like if it's an hour show, most of them are compressed so that they're about between 10 and 15 megabytes.
Really?
But the half hour, I think most of the shows are probably range within the half hour of time. So maybe 7, 8 megs.
Yeah, which is not much.
No, not nowadays. It, it, And you can choose, what you'd basically do is after you've got your email, your login account,
mm-hmm.
you log in with your email address. I use that rather than made up names because people forget it so often.
Okay.
And then you'd log in and then you'd hear a list of shows and the series of shows. And then in those series of shows or folders,
right.
you hear all of the actual shows, and most of them have the dates on them. And it's kind of fun to...
Okay, so it would show Gunsmoke, and then you click on, if you wanted Gunsmoke, you'd click on that. Then it would show you the episodes of Gunsmoke that are available.
Right.
With the dates.
Yes. Not all of them have the dates, but most of the series do. And it's I leave all the commercials in. I'm doing another set of Suspense is one of my favorite ones, and it's got about over 900 episodes of Suspense, and it had a lot of movie stars in it. And I'm more into the scary stuff, and that's what I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to go through and clean those up a little bit. People will notice that a lot of them are have a little bit of static, and I don't know if you've listened to much old-time radio, but most of them were recorded off of the radio with old cassettes or their old reel-to-reels that have been scratched and stuff. So you'll hear some artifact noise on them. On some of them, it just depends on how old it is, you know.
Well, and then some of them were taken off old transcriptions that were recorded by the network or by the radio station.
Yeah, in fact, a lot of them were pulled out of the garbage can. They actually they thought they were worthless, and they threw them in the dumpsters. And the only reason a lot of them survived is because the people that were told to throw them away said, you know, I don't want to throw this away. So they were saved that way. And there's probably 85,000 shows out there if one was to put it in a collection, you know.
Yeah.
And there is some sites that you can purchase them from.
Oh, yeah. I know about lots of those. There are many of those.
Yeah.
But, of course, you know, why do that if you can go to your site and get them for nothing? There's no point in...
The only disadvantage is that you have to download them one at a time, you know. So you have to really want them. A lot of people will... There's a button on there that will allow you to listen to one after the other, you know, so you can just play all.
Yeah.
And some people do that before they decide which ones they want to keep, but... I'm a collector. I don't even, when I go to when my family goes and get movies, we always just buy them because I don't like rentals. And we always get late fees and stuff. So.
Now, you said that you were going to go back and clean up these Suspense episodes. You don't mean that you're going to take the commercials out, do you?
I actually am. I'm going to have both types because I like the commercials because it dates them, and it's kind of fun. But for me, it's like putting a commercial in the middle of a movie. So, and some of them, you hear the same commercial over and over and over. Like Suspense had a sponsor of a wine company and of...
I think it was called, it was Roma Wine, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Exactly.
And that same commercial gets old after, I mean, if you're listening to 900 of them, it's the historical funny part of it kind of gets lost after 100 of them, you know.
Yeah, but
for me, that's what I'm saying. I know that a lot of people enjoy it, so what I'm going to do is have both versions, you know, and
okay.
that will be a separate collection. I mean, don't even have it up yet, but
a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. So you like those, huh? Roma Wines. I like the commercials because I like to hear. My forte that what I do is radio production.
Uh-huh.
Have done for 40 years, and I enjoy hearing those old commercials, how they put things together, and the different announcers that they use. The very nowadays announcers are just different than they were then. Back then they were sort of they were rather stodgy sounding fellows.
Sound like newscast guys.
Yeah, they. They didn't get very excited about the product. They seemed to present it in a very staid way. Of course, these were different times. These were the 30s and 40s. Things were The country was a different country back then.
Yeah, well, the ones that go on around the wartime, I really enjoy those. I would never take those out because, you know, when they have, you know, information about, you know, like telling people to you know, save their aluminum and save their stuff for the different drives they had and different... That stuff is really interesting to me.
Yeah, because it much...
In the 50s and 60s, you know, and that's where a lot of the ones came from. I don't know, I get interrupted. I'm not multitasking, I guess, as far as listening. I like to stay in the suspense of it all or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's just a personal preference. Everybody has their own thing, you know. If you... I think it depends on... some people just download and buy commercials, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Sites that have that. But this all led to me wanting to do my own because I was in drama in high school, just one or two classes, but I always enjoyed it. And so I, about a year ago when I found out about War of the Worlds becoming a movie and stuff, I looked it up and found out, see, anything before 1923 is in public domain that's been printed. And so I figured, well, War of the Worlds, I wonder what that is. So I looked it up and found that it was before 1923 and bought a copy of it off of eBay. And I had a really good guy that lives in Texas. His name is Sidney Williams. He's a writer and news, and he volunteered before I even thought of this one, and he's already written about 5 radio scripts for me. But then I asked him to do this one, War of the Worlds, but I told him I wanted it to be more, you know, like the original story was intended to take place in England and have English actors and stuff. So over the last year, I found English actors, and I have a blind host who lives here in Utah. His name's Tom Mitchell. He's got an excellent voice. He sounds like you. He's got a real deep, rich voice, and he does recordings for the Blind Center here. But anyways, it's been an adventure.
So now, just hold it just a minute. So you're recreating this War of the Worlds?
Yeah, it'll be a brand new production. It's a 2-hour radio drama, and it will be with and without commercials, depending on where you hear it, you know. And it will be free for the blind. And
okay, but this is a new version, or
it's brand new. I mean, it's a new remake of H.G. Wells' version, you know.
Okay, how are you doing this? Are you doing this over the internet? I mean, having people do voices and then you put it together, or what?
Exactly. They're over in England, they have a studio, and they have a bunch of actors there that I've hired, and they've been recording Nell and a bunch of them. Nell Brooker is her name. She's the main female character, and they have just recorded it all, and then I've had them do some retakes, and basically I got all the content now. I'm just putting the sound effects too, which is really time consuming.
Okay, when will this be? When will you be? Do you have any estimated time of when this will be finished?
I'm hoping within the next 3 weeks, but I'm not sure. It's got, I think, 23 scenes, and I've got up to about scene 8 right now. So it's real time consuming. I didn't realize, you know, how they used to do sound effects in the old days. They do it live with the acting, you know. And it's amazing to me now that I've had to add them afterwards, how their timing must have been perfect, you know.
Had to be.
Yeah. And
had to be absolutely perfect, because, you know, when a guy's walking up and he knocks, then the door's got to open right then. It can't, you know, we can't have that later. We need that now. So you've amassed a little sound effects library, and you're putting the sound effects with... They've done all... The dialogue is all done, and so you're putting putting it all in sequence and putting sound effects with it.
Right. This is basically our first one, and I'm hoping to do many more. I originally thought that I was going to do, you know, a whole year's worth at one time, and I thought I could pop them out like one a week, you know, until the reality set in and I found out how hard it is to produce.
Well, if you had nothing else to do, you probably could do one a week, but you know, keeping up with other things.
Yeah.
And be pretty. So you were going to do a whole series, and you thought you could do.
Yeah, the site is going to be the series of the shows and stuff. It's mindseyetheater.com, and that's where that's basically the name of the series is Mind's Eye Theater.
War of the Worlds is just the first one. You were going to do get this fellow in Texas to write you some scripts, and you were going to do several.
Yeah, he's already written them, and I'm just waiting for funding and time to do the rest. Because
if I can do any dialogue for you, let me know. I don't do people, but I do character. I do all kinds of voices.
Well, you know what? Speaking of that, I'm going to be doing. Zane Grey has quite a few westerns that were in public domain. And that was another genre that I was interested in because I really love Gun and Smoke and the Six Shooter and some of those other ones. And so,
You know, you'll need a cowboy guy to talk like this and be kind of a Western actor, sort of a John Wayne sounding guy. I thought I told you to get out of town and stay out of town. You know, call me.
I hear you.
I'd love to do some of this. I'd be very happy to. Do the dialogue and send it to you, and I'm dead serious. All right. Let's, we've talked all around this thing, but we haven't really talked about the website. What give us the address of the website and how you get there, and I guess just type it into your browser and go, right?
Yeah, there's two domain names, and the reason why I have two is the main domain is fearyoucanhear.com. It's not the fear, but it's fearyoucanhear.com.
Fear you can hear. All one word?
Right.
.com. Fearyoucanhear.com.
Yeah.
Right.
But a lot of people thought that when they hear that name, they think that I only have spooky stuff there.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
So there's another domain name that people could type in, and it might be easier for them to remember. I don't know, but it's myoldtimeradio.com.
My old time radio, all one word, .com.
Right. They both take you to the same exact site, but it's just a different way of thinking of it or remembering it.
Oh, yeah, that's not easy. Myoldtimeradio.com. It's all free. You go there and download. If you have, I guess, somewhere there's a comment page where someone can comment on the site. And you said you had free tech support?
Yes. I would love to help people do it. Otherwise, I wouldn't. If I can't help them get on and get it working, you know, then I shouldn't have it up there. So
that's right.
They can call day or night up until about, you know, 8 or 9 at night.
Is there a phone number on the website there that's accessible to blind people?
Yeah, there's a contact us page, but I could give it right now if somebody wants to.
Well, if you don't mind, that's a lot of folks are kind of squeamish about it. I guess if you have it on your website, you don't mind giving it on the program here. Go ahead.
No.
Which phone number?
It's 801-562-1641.
562-1641, and the area code is 801.
Right.
Is that correct? And your name is Troy Thane, and that's who you ask for when you call, right?
Right.
Might get one of your sons, as I did yesterday. Do what?
Huh? But it goes to my home phone first, and then it goes to my cell phone.
That boy sounded like he liked to answer the phone because he might have someone calling him. I think he was maybe thinking. Hey, you can't blame a guy for that. We all live on optimism, don't we?
Yes.
Well, sir, you're doing a wonderful service, and I hope that in the future maybe I can help you out, do some dialogue for you, and anybody else, I guess, who was interested in doing the same thing could give you a call and let you know that, because there's lots of us out there who are old, frustrated radio people that that enjoy that sort of thing. So I think you'll probably get some calls from folks who'd be willing to do some dialogue for you. And go to the website, myoldtimeradio.com. Is it .com? Yeah.
Yes.
Myoldtimeradio.com, and select what you want and download it free of charge. Troy Thane, sir, it's been a pleasure. We thank you.
Thank you.
All right, I'll talk with you.
Okay.
Certifies screen reader friendly. Now, with this week's Blind Sight, here's Tim Cummings.
Back in Blind Sight number 24, I reviewed Amazon.com as a website which was pretty famous for books and CDs and so forth and pretty accessible. One complaint I had about that site, that it was pretty cluttered with links. Well, Amazon.com has made a great improvement. They have a site now called Amazon.com/Access at www.amazon.com/access. The site is much more accessible. It's much less cluttered with extraneous links. Now, it doesn't have some of the links. For example, the old Amazon site has links like links to things that you've bought in the past and things that you might like to buy. This site doesn't have all that. It's much more basic, but it's very accessible, and for somebody who's new into using computers and new into surfing on the web, it's a very nice site for you to check out. And it comes up with all the same results when you do a search that the regular Amazon.com site has, but it's a little more stripped down and a little bit easier to use. I'd give it a screen reader friendliness rating of a 10. The website again is www.amazon.com/access. For Blind Sights, this is Tim Cummings saying, keep on blind sighting.
If you found a screen reader friendly website you'd like us to mention, send your email to blindlikeme, all one word, at txucom.net. And join us again next time for Blind Sights. A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com. Do you know about the Blind Handyman Listserv?
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List, and it worked.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman List, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman List, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
travel now to Chicago, or as the WBBM announcers say, Chicagoland. Is it known as Ray Campbell is our guest from the Lighthouse for the Blind in Chicago?
That's correct.
And what is your level of vision?
I am totally blind.
You are totally blind and have been...
Since birth.
Since birth. Well, me too. So welcome to whatever that means. You've dealt with that successfully, I suppose. Are you college trained or just...
Yes, I am. I've actually got an associate degree in data processing. I spent 15 and a half years as a software engineer for a major telecommunications company. And after that, after I was laid off, I spent 3 years working at a Center for Independent Living, providing information, referral, advocacy, and other assistance to people with various disabilities. And then in November of last year, I was hired to begin operating the Lighthouse's National Help Desk Hotline, adaptive technology help desk that we have here.
So you are computers. You're very steeped in computers. That's what you do.
Yeah, it's what I do. That's me.
Yeah, that's good. Because they sure aren't going away, are they? They're here to stay. And as far as I'm concerned, the best thing to happen for blind people since Louis Braille gave us a Braille system.
Oh yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, there's so many doors that the computer has opened for people who are blind that it's just amazing. I mean, all the things that we can do so much independently, from doing our grocery shopping online to keeping in touch with family and friends no matter where they are in the world, to doing our own research if we're students. You know, there's so many things we can do with the computer. It's just wonderful.
I've been going to this site the last 3 or 4 days called For the People. That is a site set up for blind people.
Yes, it's quite wonderful.
They have a room there which is called Play It Again, Sam, and so we all sit there and play music from our personal computers all night long and talk to each other. And it's just, you know, without the internet, without computers, that's sort of thing's impossible.
It doesn't happen. Right, Phil. That's exactly right.
All right. So the Lighthouse there in Chicago made a decision a year or so ago to offer assistive technology to blind people nationwide. Is that good?
That's correct. Lighthouse was able to get some funding from Boeing Corporation and to start this help desk out. And what they've done is that they have that we are offering assistance nationwide to anyone who's visually impaired or blind that needs to have help with computers. They can call up our toll-free number, which is 888-825-0080, and between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central Time, and we will do our best to assist them with whatever their problems are.
In case you missed that, we'll give it several more times before we sign off here. Now, this is free to anyone.
Yes, it is.
Do you have to register? Do you have to prove that you're...
Oh, no. We take you at your word. And the other thing is that it's free to anyone. They don't have to be working either. It can be somebody sitting at home having a problem. Maybe they have somebody who uses the computer to keep in touch with their children. They're in various parts of the country by email, and their email's not working right. They can give us a call. We'll try and see what the problem might be and try to help them resolve it. So in that sense, the help desk can assist with more than just somebody's adaptive technology. It can assist with all sorts of PC problems and other PC problems like installing new software, updating device drivers, any of that stuff.
And we all complain about the high cost of adaptive access technology, but it's so good to know that this is a free-of-charge thing.
You know, the technology is costly. I like to think of what we're doing here as a one-stop resource. You know, what often happens is that we who are blind or visually impaired, we have to use more often than not use some sort of adaptive software on our computer. So when there's a problem, let's say I'm using JAWS, for example. If there's a problem, I call up Freedom Scientific, and they talk through, oh, well, that's not our problem. Call your software vendor. So you call them, and you go through the whole thing. Well, that's not our problem. Call your computer company, and so on and so forth. what we're trying to do here is give people a one-stop place that they can call, so that regardless if it's a JAWS problem or if it turns out that it is a Windows problem or something like that, we're going to try to help the person fix it. And if we can't get it fixed, we will try to help them find someone in the area who can come and actually see their computer and fix it for them.
Yeah.
If people are in the metropolitan Chicago area, they can get, we have technology specialists, and this is only for the metro Chicagoland area, that can go out and help people with their, on site with their problems. So we're just trying to be a one-stop place that people can call and get the help they need. And we can bring in people like the tech support from Freedom Scientific if it's something that's a little more complex that we need to work on.
Okay, so you have amassed several technicians there.
Well, we don't have. Well, I'm the only person doing the help desk right now. What I have in front of me is really one computer that can be five or six computers. I have. I'm able to support people with regard that they're using Windows XP Professional, Windows XP Home, Windows 2000, Windows 98. We're working to get Linux going on our computers. We can also support people that use the Braille Note or the PacMate note takers so that people have questions or problems, they can call in and do that. And the service, by the way, is not limited just to visually impaired individuals themselves. If there are teachers that work with individuals, counselors, whomever, family members, you know, somebody that's trying to help somebody,
mm-hmm.
We'd be glad to talk to them as well.
In other words, if you had a sighted person there, that you could put them on the phone, maybe. And
absolutely, I have actually done that.
Yeah, because you're not really worried about it. All you want to do is get them up and running. I mean,
I want to get them back so they can use their computers to do whatever it is they're doing, whether it's keeping track of their checkbook or doing their job.
Now, it would be my thinking that as this becomes better known to blind people, you're going to need others to help you.
That probably will be the case. Right now, we had initially projected we'd run about five calls a day, and that's what we're seeing. We're seeing about five calls a day right now. Five calls is a good number because what that allows you to do, as myself as a technician to do, is to spend the time. There are people who require a lot of time to spend with them, and there are people who just need a question answered. So I can spend the quality time and give people the quality service that they deserve. And, once we start going, say, up above five calls a day or whatever,
yeah,
we'll visit that, and we'll see what we need to do as far as adjusting our staffing levels and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so sometimes I had a computer guy come out 2 weeks ago. I was looking in my computer. I was trying to enable a sound card, and I wasn't seeing it. I was on. I have two computers with the same Audigy sound card, and I was seeing more things in one computer than I was the other, and I couldn't figure. Well, the guy simply went to properties and went to display show all. It took him about 5 minutes. Probably cost me $61.
The thing that what we're trying to do here. The other thing I think that really needs to be pointed out here is too that when I help somebody with a computer problem, especially somebody who's totally blind, I'm not going to sit there and say, "Well, point at this, click that." You know, this and that. I'm going to say, hold down the Alt key and press E to get to the Edit menu, and then down it, use your down arrow until you hear JAWS say. I'm going to do those kinds of things. Communicate with people, help them resolve problems in language that they understand.
Because you are totally blind,
exactly.
And you have no more access to the screen than you can give them. You're doing Alt E, and
you're
doing the same things. I just think that within a couple of months, you boys are going to have to train a couple more people because this is a wonderful. You know, how many times have I thought, damn, wish I knew somebody to call, but you don't know anybody to call. And
well, now everybody knows somebody to call. They can
give
us a call right here at the Lighthouse, and we'll try to help them out.
Okay, you say computers only. What if you don't deal with, for instance, PlexTalk or Bookport or any of those kinds of things?
We don't have those here where I can deal with them. Now, I personally have a PlexTalk, so a PTR-1, so I know a little bit about it.
You just had the PTR-1. Me too. I'm not going to buy the two. The only thing it offers is a compressor on the line in that I'd really like to have.
Right. Well, and that's... you know, it's one of the things that we say is that, you know, we'll try to support whatever a person calls in about.
Yeah.
If we find a situation, there's something we don't have, and let's say that we get a lot of calls about it, then we're going to have to say, okay, maybe we need to buy that, so we have that here to support people. But that's something that, you know, has to be, there has to be a call for help with something. Like, for example, there's the voiceover from Mac. Well, we haven't had any calls about that. And, you know, it's even though it's been out there for a while. So it's, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, we're going to certainly try to keep up as best we can here and as much as, you know, finances and things will allow, and try to keep up with what people are using out there. It's really about the best we can do.
Yeah, I guess it is. And what a nice service you're providing that no one else has done. I don't know. I think Freedom Scientific is free if you own one of their products, isn't it?
They are, but a lot of times they also have a long distance number that you have to call.
That's right, you do have to call.
GW Micro is the same way. They all are. Most companies are.
And you've got Window Eyes and JAWS and both on this computer.
Yes, I do.
You're familiar with both.
Plus I also have HAL, which is Optilex or Dolphin Systems screen reader product, which most of the calls I've received so far screen reader wise have been JAWS. By far, a vast majority have been JAWS. Although I've gotten some Window Eyes too, which is.
I wonder if we're saying that people have more trouble with JAWS or.
I think we're saying that more people have JAWS than Window Eyes. So.
That is true. I don't have Window Eyes. I have JAWS. But the Window Eyes people are loyal. I mean, they swear by it. The guys that have, folks that have Window Eyes just swear it's the better system. I have no idea. What do you think?
I'll tell you, I think it depends what you're doing with your computer. If you're going to be doing email, doing internet, Word and Excel, you can use either screen reader. They're both very good. If you're going to be messing with Access or PowerPoint, then you really need to have JAWS, because JAWS does provide better support for those two products. Although I do hear that in version 6.0, Window Eyes is going to be offering support for PowerPoint.
Uh-huh.
So.
And those are the two leaders. There really isn't much else.
Yeah, really. And HAL, I think HAL is fairly new, and so I don't think it's really caught on yet as to all that it can do. Perhaps when people start to catch on, it's going to be right up in there too. But right now, I'd say JAWS and Window Eyes are the two leading products.
Well, and then folks, like you said, are starting to use, because Linux, I think, has a voice. Doesn't it have a built-in screen reader, Linux?
There's no built-in screen reader for it. There's some. There are some things being developed, open source things that are being developed for Linux, but it's not really. And there's also a product called Emacs Speak, which has been around for quite a few years. That's a screen reader type of product for Linux.
Well, then I think for simple things, this Narrator that's in XP will work to a certain extent.
Narrator is a good product if you're either going to work on somebody else's machine, or if the person has a JAWS, you know, say a video intercept error with JAWS and they can't get their JAWS going, we can bring up Narrator. And actually, you can do quite a bit with Narrator in terms of repairing the computer and looking at things and stuff like that. I would not want to use Narrator as my main screen reader, but it does offer some functionality. In my previous employment, I was by default, because I was probably the one that really knew the most, the computer guy. And so I had to go around to everybody's computer occasionally and do things with them, and Narrator was just a great, great help for that.
My next thought was, there is a way, I have heard, never seen this done, with XP that I could allow you to actually, from your computer, access my computer.
Yeah, the remote assistance is, and it's something that our tech specialists here have been using. Now, I personally have not used it yet. I don't know if it works with JAWS. We don't know if it works with JAWS or Window Eyes.
That's what I was thinking. Would it work with a screen reader?
We want to find out at some point if that will work, because that would be even much, much better to be able to try to diagnose and fix things remotely. I have one colleague here who is fully sighted, who's one of our tech specialists, just absolutely loves it. I mean, he uses it quite often to assist people with their computer issues.
Yeah, I saw a few years ago where JAWS, where Freedom Scientific and Microsoft were collaborating on some products, and I thought right then, well, this means that Microsoft is not going to be building in a screen reader to Windows, which looks like to me would be the sensible thing to do.
Well, in some ways it would, some ways it wouldn't. I think there's some pros to like Microsoft doing what Apple has done and building an opera screen reader into the operating system. I do think that the risk you run is that would be developed by Microsoft software developers who are all very good, intelligent, and great people. But
they aren't blind, are they?
They're not blind. And I think that's the thing about Freedom and GW Micro. These are developed by people who understand the visually impaired and blindness community. They know what we need. They know how to get the screen reader to give us what we need so that we can use the computer for whatever we're going to use it for.
What about the Apple voice? What about Apple? Do you deal with those much?
Don't have one here. I should warn you, we're having some phone problems here. So
are you?
Yeah, it's click click clicking on my end here.
I'm not hearing it.
Okay. Well, we may get dropped. So so you're aware of that. I've seen the Apple VoiceOver product. My initial thought is it has a little ways to go. But you know what? When JAWS and Window Eyes first came out, they weren't perfect either. And so I think it's a good idea. Apple certainly needed to do something to try to attract blind and visually impaired people to the market. I think the more important issue with the VoiceOver product is going to be making sure that the people, salespeople at Apple stores and stuff, know about it.
Yeah, that would be important if they don't, you're in trouble. And if you don't, if you have no tech support whatsoever, you're out there on your own.
Exactly.
We were back in the early '90s. Yeah. All right. Before we get dropped, let's. This is a free. What we're talking here, but if you just joined us, a free service for access technology that you can call free of charge between, I think you said, 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central?
That is correct, at 888-825-0080.
All right, and you will answer that phone.
Yes, I will. It rings right on this desk.
In fact, that's the number I'm calling now, and you said, hi, can I help you? You know, so if I'd had a computer problem, we could have talked, and maybe you could have got me up and running.
Yep.
Maybe you could tell me how to get to the mixer.
It would have been my pleasure to do that.
How to get to the mixer in my Audigy sound card. I can't figure that out. Somebody's written a script for that. But we'll go into that later. Mark, give me a phone number one more time.
Sure, 888-825-0080. That's good anywhere in the United States and in Canada, I understand. We've actually gotten a call from Canada. This is a great service. I'm really excited to be doing it and offering the service to people. So far, we've heard from 25 states, and it's something that's been needed for a long time. A real good tech support outlet that people can call and get help with their issues.
And it's free.
It's free. Yep.
And it's free. And what I want to do is put you on sort of hold you in reserve, and maybe 6 months, 9 months, a year from now, call and see how this thing is going. If you've added technology, added other trainers, added other people to do the job you're doing.
Yes. That'd be great. I'd love to do that.
I feel like you're going to need them once the blind communities get wind of what you've offered here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sir. We thank you much, and I'm going to run this weekend on AECB Radio and also some radio reading services, so you can go see how we did.
Okay. What time is that rare on AECB
we
Radio?
We start at, I think, 8 o'clock Central on Friday night, and they run this 24 hours a day. They run the Blind Handyman 1 hour, and then this show is called Blind Like Me.
Uh-huh.
They run that the next hour. So they just alternate hours back and forth. So anytime you tune in Saturday, if you'll listen, then it'll be our segment here will be on. We talked about a guy. The first part of the show, we had a guy on who's offering free old-time radio to blind people. So this is a free day. Everything's free here on the Blind Like Me show. Ray, appreciate you, and I'll talk with you.
Well, thank you very much for giving me the time and let me tell the world about what we're doing.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Okay. got all the phone numbers for free old time, not phone numbers, but all the website for old time radio free of charge, and also for tech support. That's a tremendous thing. I wish when I'd started fooling with computers we'd had that. I might have gotten up and running a lot faster. A couple of things we want to tell you about. We are working on a deal with the people at over at For the People, which is by the way, for-the-people.com. Is it .com? It is .com. I know it is. ForThePeople.com. To do the shows live on Tuesday afternoon on their FTP radio as soon as they get their server back up and going. They had a hacker, some problems with it, I think, and as soon as they get that back up and rolling, we're going to start doing the shows live, so you'll be able to call in. We'll take phone calls, live phone calls, like Hallie said, just like a real radio show. Won't that be cool? That should start within a couple of weeks, hopefully. We were planning on May 2nd to starting that. Don't think we're going to make that date. There's still a possibility we will. Doubtful, though. Probably be 9th, probably more like May 16th before we get that up and going. But it'll be the blind like me, then we'll do an hour of classic country, and then at 3 o'clock Central Time on Tuesday afternoons, we will do the Blind Handyman Show with all of us gathered around our microphones live, and that's coming up, so stay with us for that. Also, gathering in November, we're getting together, we're just going to get together, play some music, have a good time, meet each other, and make friends. That's all we're all about. That'll be coming up the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and go home on the 6th of November. If you're interested, email me, phil@philpar.net. I'll send you the information. If you're on our list, it's up there also. We'd love to have you come. phil@philpar.net. We'd love to have you come in November and just visit with us. That's all we're going to do. None of those mean motivational speakers that make you feel like a bum because you aren't out saving the world. That'll be coming up November 3rd, and we'd love to have you come. Houston, Texas. Fly right there. Shuttle take you from the airport to the hotel and take you back. Lots of good food. Come and see us. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. More of Blind Like Me. If you'd like to be a guest, you can suggest a guest. Email me, phil@philpar.net. And we always need guests for the Handyman Show and for Blind Like Me. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. See you next week.